said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But as God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also."
What has your attention? How many people here enjoy watching Formula One?
Yeah!
All right. Got two this day. All right, double our numbers. Usually it's just Martin that can respond to such a great question. But in order to get to the stage of driving a Formula One car, like you see looking out the window there in the back, you actually have to learn to drive. Now, how many of you have taught your children to drive? All right, got a few numbers over here. Now that, yeah, that's where the hair goes white and it starts falling out. Thankfully, our son went to the States and he learned with grandma and grandpa, mostly. But I've got three more to teach, and Josiah's ready. Yeah, but I can actually remember back to learning to drive with my dad, and it was a manual transmission like this here in Macedonia. Quite challenging, but the only problem was I learned to drive and started dating at the same time. Bad mix. You know, you're all nervous and you kill the car as you're pulling into your girlfriend's driveway and dad's looking out the window. And it was actually a narrow driveway on a slight hill. So you had to like get just right and then sort of climb. And I parked on the street and walked in. It was much better. But one of the key lessons I learned actually from my dad is driving, and he always enjoyed me being closer to the middle of the road than the wheel kicking up dirt on the side of the road. Was to look way ahead. The farther you look ahead, the smoother driving is, right? So if you look down the road and you see a spot that you're going to, you kind of just slowly drift back and forth where you need to be in the road, as opposed to the looking right in front of you, down right in front of the edge of the car at the little lines that are passing you. Try to stay close and you're always going like this. Everybody in the car is getting motion sickness because the car just doesn't go smoothly. So, big lesson, you want to remember this, Anastasia, look way down the road as you're driving and keep the car smooth. Now, the only thing I need to add to my smoothness is with the gas pedal, because I'm always going into little holes in the traffic and zipping around, and that isn't so smooth. But once you've learned the basics of driving, then you can get to this phase of Formula One here. The average speed of these guys, Martin, do you know this? The average speed of these guys in the Formula One race as they're whipping around there?
In kilometers, yeah. Probably about 250.
250, yeah, I Googled it. It came up with 247, so the man knows his stuff. 247 kilometers an hour. Now, I've not quite reached that like as my highest speed yet. But these guys are, you know, braking and then putting the acceleration on and going all over the place, but really, really fast. So it's important for these guys to control their car and to be smooth and predictable and knowing what's going ahead. And it's all about their attention. These guys are very, very focused on what they're doing. They're not waving at the guys in the stands as they're driving by. No, they got their earpiece in hearing the crew and they're focused on the road ahead of them. So this morning, as we're in Luke chapter 12, we have a question here of where is my attention? What am I looking at? What is it that's coming up? Because there's lots of warnings this morning that we're going to see. It's a long passage. We've heard part of this morning read out for us of worry and anxiety. But where do we put our attention in the day-to-day goings through life? Let's stop and pray, and we'll get into this text that we have. Our Father God, we bow our knee right now and confess that you are God, and we are not. Our lives we live for you because you created us. And so we give back what we have, and that's ourselves. Pray this morning as we look at these verses in your scriptures that we would be changed. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So you remember back a few weeks ago, as we were looking in this Gospel of Luke, this book written to remind us that what we have been believing is true. That's the whole purpose of this book. We saw a couple weeks ago there was crowds of people gathered around Jesus. So Jesus was there, middle of the crowds. We are the crowds gathered around Jesus. And everybody had a reaction to what Jesus was doing. Some of the people were amazed at his healing. Some of them tried to dismiss him and say his power came from some demonic entities. And some just said, we need more proof. So people were wrestling with what to do with Jesus. And this week, as we continue going on, we have these same crowds, only they're growing. In fact, it says there were so many several thousands coming around, they were trampling on each other. So this is getting to be kind of a chaotic scene around here. Jesus, his disciples, and then around them are people just elbowing, trying to get closer, trying to get to Jesus, having their questions, wanting to be healed, needing to be closer and closer to Jesus. Getting to be kind of out of control. This is where you actually need the riot police to come in and form the lines. But it didn't happen. So Jesus, in the midst of this, puts out a caution to his people, to his disciples, those really close to him. So what do you think he's going to say? Hey, you need to control this? No. In chapter 12 of Luke, Jesus says this to his disciples. Be on your guard. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Wait a second. We have crowds going on. We have people jostling around. And Jesus is focused on something else? Yeah. Be on your guard, he's telling his disciples. Now, as we go through this whole passage today, this is really going to be a very important aspect of what we're paying attention to. Be on your guard. Be alert. Be looking around you, Jesus is saying, for several reasons. Against, it says, the yeast of the Pharisees. These Pharisees, these religious leaders, right? So what does yeast have to do with anything? One of my first summers here in Macedonia, as I was learning language, my wife sent me down to the local prodavnica, the store down there, underneath our apartment where we were staying, and said, Brian, get some yeast, I'm going to make some bread. No problem. I don't know the word, but I can figure this out. I'm a good actor. How many of you enjoy doing the whole mime kind of thing or acting out something? Can you figure out how to express with hand motions yeast? I was offered frozen bread, fresh bread, dough. I could not get yeast out of this store. It was a solid 10, 15 minutes of working through the language. Finally, I went back up to the apartment, found the dictionary, looked it up, Bossets. Yes, yes, I remember to this day. Went back down, bought this little piece of frozen yeast that was in the freezer, and brought it back. Success. But it was a long process. But what does yeast have to do with people. In this Jewish setting that we're in here, he's to something that's very, very small, and it spreads throughout everything. It's what makes bread grow, rise up, be fluffy. So you take your bread, and you divide it in half, and you mix in some more dough, it keeps rising. You cut it in half, and you add some more dough to the mix, the yeast inside of there keeps growing, and the bread keeps rising. Yeast goes a long way. So one little bit of something affects it all. So Jesus in these verses warning his disciples, watch out for this little bitty seed of hypocrisy in your midst that spreads so easily. Hypocrisy. Anybody want to confess to being a hypocrite this morning? No. We know it's a bad thing, right? We don't want to be something for other people that we aren't really. And yet, especially as we're young, this is something we wrestle with. I've looked, at least analyzing my own life, I like to look good for people. I try to smile when they expect a smile, and try to have a more serious face when I'm supposed to have that serious face. But I think hypocrisy changes more as we get older, how we perceive it or how we actually apply it. In this case, the Pharisees, although they were very concerned about how they were looking for other people, they were also forcing their perceptions on others. So hypocrisy is not just about how what's going on inside of me and how I project myself. It's also about that projection judging people around me. And Jesus very strongly warns these followers, it's watch out for that. This little seed is going to infect everything unless you're on your guard, unless you have your attention, unless you're focused on what could happen if you let your guard down. Worrying about what others see, judging others by the standards that we ourselves can't keep. But there's a very real aspect of it that Jesus brings out here, which is being brought before judges. Sometimes, in some places of the world, unless you pretend not to be a follower of Christ, your life is on the line. Your career is on the line. And Jesus is saying, even in those instances where people are saying, are you really following after Jesus? He's saying, relax. When they bring you before judges to say, what do you believe? He says, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say to answer. So this goes from the very little mundane of walking through the hallway and I want to look good to my friends at school to my life and my career is on the line and people are wondering about my faith. Will I say, yes, I'm following after Jesus? Or will I be a hypocrite and say, not today? Hypocrisy is that little seed that can grow to affect all of our life, even our faith. Be on your guard. A second warning that Jesus gives us here in these verses is about anxiety and worry. It says here in verse 15, watch out and guard yourselves against all types of greed. Now again, this is something as a word, greed. Oh, no, I'm not greed. We can all deny that we find this in ourselves. And yet, in the same way that a little bit of hypocrisy spreads the whole way, we find greed affects us as well. And we have this in two different ways expressed for us here. I think one of them is going to surprise us. First of all, he tells us a story of a really rich man. Some of us can relate to that, some of us can't. But this really rich man actually had a great year. His crops came in, he had the best harvest of wheat and corn and everything else you could imagine. This is like today, either winning the lottery. You bought the ticket and you win the lottery. This is your investment portfolio kicked in. You hit that stock when it was at its lowest, and you rode it to the top and you sold it, and then the stock market crashed again and you had all the money. Feeling good. We usually applaud those kind of people. Yeah, way to go. Good for you. The problem in this story is the man's attitude towards this whole thing. The man in this verse, these verses here says in 18, says, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build a bigger ones, and there I will store all this excess that I have. And I will say to myself, I've got plenty stored up, and they're stored up for many years. I can relax, eat, drink, and celebrate. His life is set. How many of you would like to be at that point in life? Man, I've got it. I can relax now. We actually applaud most of those people, wouldn't we? Man, this guy invested when he was 20s and his 30s. He made it this point, and now he's got it made. He can relax. And Jesus says, yeah, way to go.
No,
you're aware of the text here. That's right. No, in these verses, actually, God says to this man, you fool. Harsh. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. And who will get all this stuff you have? Greed in this is the man thinking, I've made it, and I can do what I want now. He left God out of the picture, because the next verse tells us, so it is for the one who stores up riches for himself, but not being rich towards God. Now, this is in the context of having everything. Your life is set and made, and forgetting God is in the picture, being rich towards Him. Now, if that was just the story, I think we could all say, oh, good, there's no greed in me. I'm good. The problem is, he doesn't leave us right there. He goes on to something little called worry. And I tell you, do not worry about your life. Now, how is this tied into greed? Because worry is, I think, a little thing. It can be, and this passage is talking about what you're going to eat today, what you're going to drink today, what you're going to put on your body, the clothes you're going to wear. There's some people living today who don't know where that next meal comes from. And they worry about it. Especially if you're a parent. As Svetlana was telling us, this family of three already, expecting twins, not working, where is food going to come from? How is this going to happen? It's natural, I think, in those moments to worry about, how am I going to provide today? This is a very in-your-face, moment-by-moment fear, worry, anxiety. I've got to do something to care for these people that are under my protection. But it's not just the food, the day-to-day. It's our family. I mean, how about my son who's a long way away in Texas? I worry about him, but I have no control over his life. He's studying his first year in university. Or how about our parents? We're expats here, so most of us have parents spread around the world. They're getting older. They have health issues. There's no one nearby that can help them. And we have this concern for them, a desire to help, and yet helplessness. As we heard as this passage was read out earlier, what good does it do for us to worry? Doesn't make my life grow longer. Doesn't help those I'm worrying about to live longer or a better life. And yet that's the natural tendency each one of us has. What can I do? I've got to be focused on this. There's got to be a solution. Don't worry about your life. So whether you have nothing or whether you're set for life, Jesus is saying in this passage, don't worry. Let go of this greed. Whether it's for the greed for the day, that little thing of I need something desperately, or I've got it all. Jesus is saying, let go. Focus on His kingdom. So we asked this morning, what has my attention? These little seeds in our lives that grow up and touch everything, affect everything about us. Is my attention fixed on looking good for the others and providing for myself? Is it protecting what I've already gained or actually really needing today's needs? These are the questions Jesus is addressing in the midst of this chaos. These crowds that are pressing in upon Him. What has my attention? If on the first one, hypocrisy is what I'm supposed to be avoiding, how do I get rid of that? What's the solution in these verses? If in these verses we're told to not be anxious, how do I turn away from anxiety? If in these verses I'm not supposed to be greedy, what am I replacing these with? So we go back to that
overarching question of the day. What has my attention?
If we're putting our attention moment by moment on what's around me, what I can see, the people that are there, the things that are there,
my attention gets lost in what God is doing.
I lose it. I get so caught up in people or things, these things that God has created, that God himself gets lost.
The hypocrisy starts to grow, the greed, the anxiety grows within us. What has my attention?
It's so easy for us to allow the messages of the day to invade. What drives our society? You think about what you see on TV, if you watch the Super Bowl, or afterwards you watch the Super Bowl and saw the commercials. What are the stories that people around us are telling us that we need? What do we need in our life? Commercials are always trying to sell us. Are driving down the street looking at billboards. People are telling us this brand or that brand, this food or that food, this diet program or that diet program. All these messages are coming in saying, you need this. And as we focus on the items for sale, we lose this attention on God. Your life. Are you not more valuable than a bird? I love how Jesus takes us from this big picture of everything I could want or could need and says, you know what? As God himself takes care of such little things, your life is more important than that. Your life has value. Your life has exponentially greater worth than anything you can fix your eyes upon. The hypocrisy affects how people see us, but it affects, more importantly, how they see who God is. Our focus on things allows us to lose our sight on that God provides, and as people see us focusing on material things, it also fixes their eyes on those same material things around us. And so instead of that, Scripture tells us here to be rich towards God. To the point it says where it says, sell everything. This is one of those blanket statements that Jesus loves to make that just wrecks our world. What do you mean sell everything? I want to provide. We want to look forward. We don't want to do this. We want to provide and care for and be solid and set for life. Our society fans the flame of being self-sufficient. Jesus here saying, you need have more of a focus on being rich towards God than being rich for yourself. More of a focus on loving others, not caring what they think, giving to them, providing for them, than looking to your own reputation, your own plans for your life, your own image. So it's not really this morning a focus on reputation or focus on things. It's a focus on the Creator that's behind it all. Jesus saying, look at me. Look at my life. Look at my example. Because I'm the focus of your life. In learning to drive, we focus down the road in high-speed races. We focus way ahead so we can know what's coming and smoothly go through it. And I think our lives are much like that. Our lives are fast-paced, busy, full. From the time we get up to the time we go down, the average person checks their smartphone 150 times a day. Did I do more than that?
Way more than that.
All right, yeah, you can turn off your phones now.
We live crazy busy lives. We're always available for everyone at any time, day or night. If that focus consumes us, we're crashed. We're wrecked. Our lives will not go where they need to go.
looking down the motorway of life, where are your eyes focused today? And you want to know the answer to that? He gives it to us right here. He tells us how we can know what our lives are targeting, where our eyes are focused, what we are concentrating on, what our lives are immersed in. And we have a choice. This quote I'm going to read says this: we have these brief lives, and our only real choice is how we fill them. Your attention is precious. Don't squander it. Don't throw it away. Don't let companies and products steal it from you. Don't let advertisers trick you into lusting after things you don't need. Don't let the media convince you to covet the lives of celebrities. Own your attention. It's all you really have. So this morning, if you were to say, how do I know then what's getting my attention? We have the verses that we heard read for us today. Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For there's more to life than food, more to your body than clothing. Do not be overly concerned about what you will eat or what you will drink. Don't worry about these things. For all the nations of the world, everyone that's represented in this room today has this in common. And your Father knows what you need. So instead of pursuing these things, Scripture tells us here, pursue His kingdom. That's your attention, that pursuit. Put your attention on this kingdom. And these things will be given to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father is well pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide yourself purses that do not wear out, a treasure in heaven that never decreases, where no thief approaches, and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You want to know what's your heart about? Where is it focused? The treasure that you long for, that's what your life focuses on. And you have a choice. Jesus, we've looked at your words this morning. In the midst of crowds that were out of control, in the midst of busyness, you still brought your disciples and our attention back to this very tiny little nugget of truth. That you, Jesus, your kingdom is our focus. What you are doing is what you called us to be doing. So Father God, help us. You know how easily we get distracted. You know how easily people grab our attention and how things around us look so important. Turn our eyes and may we fix on the goal that's in front of us, the finish line of this life, your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.